Shut up and sit down.
What's going on, guys? This is MMA Complex. My name is Josh.
And I'm James.
And we are back. It is, what's the date? Tuesday?
July 28th.
Yeah, July Tuesday. 20th. Tuesday?
Okay, Tuesday
July
afternoon.
28th. Yeah. Yeah, man. Brand new episode, man. Back after after a week of fights, after a week of working and fucking all that shit.
Speaking of work, you're back.
You haven't stopped.
Yeah.
You haven't stopped. I feel.
Yeah. Yeah. It sucks. Yeah, I mean, I wish I can just have a break like everybody else did, because I heard that you get paid more staying at home.
Depending on the job, yeah.
But you recently went back to work.
Me, I'm making about around what I was making.
Okay.
So it's not too bad. It's not too bad. It's not like, it's not as, it's a little less, but it's not as bad.
How was it going back to work?
I went back to work for like a solid week.
That sucks.
I know. I mean, it does. I mean, I know. I sound like somebody that just wants to sit back and collect. But honestly, it's not even that. It's just. I'm just done with
your job. Yeah,
I'm done with the job, and I love the people. I love all that stuff. Yeah. I'm just done with. I'm just trying to figure out how to at least get something out of to do what I want to do instead of doing what I have to do.
No, it's difficult to try to want to get out of bed for a job that you're not so passionate about.
Yeah, I'm not passionate about it, and it pays the bills and has been good to me. But if I can't get the job that I want just yet, hopefully you know soon, I want to make this whole situation work for me. And if I could find something that I could do remotely,
that'd be great.
Which I'm working on. That'd be great. And spend time at home, spend time with family, organize this this podcast and. You know, all the little things I got on the side to
keep you busy.
Yeah, to keep me busy. And well, I'm sure working from home will keep me busy. But if I can be home and not spend hours away from home doing something I don't want to do, and that keeps me away from the people I want to be around and the things I want to work on, I'm just tired of that. I'm tired of doing that. So
yeah.
It's like, I don't know. That's where I'm at.
But in your situation, it's different to want to, not necessarily want to be home, but to be home because you have your son.
Yeah, yeah.
That you have to take care of and stuff like that. So
I was spending.
It's not
a
like you're
time.
Just hanging out and watching TV all day in your pajamas. So 1:30 in the afternoon.
Yeah, that's true. I'm not wasting this time either. We're taking advantage of it. We're doing podcasts. We're doing good shows.
Yeah.
You know, I'm doing a lot of stuff on the side to make money and spending a lot of time with my family, which I enjoy doing.
Yeah. And especially right now, he's so young.
And he's so young. And so when I'm not doing that, I'm spending, 10 hours at some other job that I don't want to do. That's 10 hours away
from your family,
from
the show.
This. Yeah. So I'm just tired of that. I'm tired of doing that. So that's why I'm enjoying this time off. And that's why I'm complaining about working this past week.
Yeah.
Because I had to go back to that life. And it was fucking, it was annoying. It was even like I would come home and then we did the show and I, you know, you had to muster up the energy and you had to do it every time we had to do the show. And I'm sure you feel the same way I do about, about working and having to do, wanting to do things that you want to do and spend time with people that you want to spend time with.
Yeah. It's like, that's cool. I mean, I think my longest days are Tuesdays just because I have, I work early mornings and then I'm there all day from 4 in the morning.
And your schedule changes often too, where it's sometimes,
Yeah.
And you have to adjust.
But it's not bad. I mean, once I got used to knowing that, today is my double days, it's not bad.
Yeah.
Just because, it's not bad.
Yeah. So that's where I'm at. And the week was fine. There was really not much to do. Everything's dead. And especially in the business, I work in the hospitality business, I'd say, so it's pretty dead right now, especially with tourism and all that.
Mm.
So it was a lot of nothing, and it's why am?
Well, at least it was that.
That was the best part of it.
Going to work and being overwhelmed with work.
And it was kind of there was a small part of it to where it was nice to be able to actually dress up again,
dress up and be out of the house for a little bit,
and have something else to do.
Yeah.
And just, see people again, even though there's not that many people left,
that's good.
It's good to see people again. So there was some good takeaways from
that's
it.
Good.
What else? What else did you do?
I don't know. Well, like I've been telling you, I think I tell you every week. Well, besides me getting sick.
You got food poisoning. Tell everybody about food poisoning.
Yeah,
you got food
poisoning. So I went to a restaurant and ordered a sirloin steak. And I like my steaks medium rare. So the waitress brought me my food and I cut into it and it was like red, blood red. So I said, can you cook it again? Yeah. Had to wait another 20 minutes and they brought it back and it was still red. I'm like, you know what? I don't want to wait longer because...
And you don't want to be that guy.
Yeah, exactly. And I was already hungry. She was hungry. My girlfriend was hungry. So I just cut around the red part and ate what I thought was edible and it fucked me up. Yeah. I was fucking sitting down that whole day just fucking shitting on my guts. But it took a day and a half of recovery. And
did you weigh yourself after?
Yeah, I think I lost a couple pounds.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you're right.
I remember, because it happened to me. It happened to me right before I went back to work and then after Julian was born. And, I take 8 weeks off. And then I got food poisoning the weekend before I went back to work.
It sucks, huh?
It sucks.
It feels like you're hungover, but it's not.
Yeah.
Like...
Your body, you had a little bit of body ache, chills, mm-hmm. and then you just start shitting the entire weekend.
Yeah.
And then I probably lost a good 3 pounds, I think it felt like.
I even barfed, but my barf was worse than stomach acid.
Yeah.
It was bad.
I don't think I threw up. I remember if I threw up.
Yeah, it was
but bad. I remember I went back to work all light, feeling good. I was
You all fit, six pack. Well, I didn't go that far with me, but it didn't take more than that.
But now, you got to update people. You lost a lot of weight. You lost probably
34 pounds? 34 pounds.
35? 34?
Yeah, 34 pounds. Since my diet, I've been cooking a lot.
Yeah, you've been cooking and a lot.
I've been taking cooking online because you can go online and find anything you want. So it's fun, shopping for the ingredients and then trying out for big yourself.
On nutrition and
it's fun.
Cooking.
I love cooking, dude. It just sucks cleaning up, but it's fun.
Yeah.
Because I'm making
that's
mess.
Good, though. I mean, you're learning that skill. Man. You know what I mean? And
I don't know. Yeah. I'm getting pretty good at this shit. I mean, it's not that hard. It's just follow a fucking recipe.
What does your girlfriend say about your weight loss?
She's happy for me and kind of proud for me. She's lost a lot of weight. I think she's lost 15 pounds. I think it's more difficult for a girl to lose weight than a guy because they have tits and ass.
Is she as strict with the food?
She's more strict than me.
Oh, really? With the food
I'm
portions
more lenient.
And all?
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah. She's my instructor she's my conscience in a lot of ways because there's a lot of times I just want to cheat.
Yeah, you just want
to. She keeps me in line, but I think she's down to 135 and she started at 155.
Not bad.
So yeah, she's lost a lot of weight too.
That's a lot of weight, yeah.
And she didn't have to do that. She's only did it for me, so I wouldn't feel like I'm alone doing this shit. So
yeah.
But in return, she lost weight too. So
that's good.
Yeah.
And
I never thought this would happen.
You know, they say when you lose weight, you gain an inch. Is that true?
Well, I don't know.
They say
I wish.
they say when you lose, I think it's a big number. I think it's 30 pounds.
Fuck.
Which you've lost 30 pounds.
Yeah. Fuck, you're losing 30. At least a couple.
I don't know if it's if you gain an inch. I think it's just the fucking fat around your balls and your everything just go away.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
But there is certain underwear that make you fucking your stick look bigger. I bought some expensive underwear. Goddamn! I'm looking like in the mirror. I'm like, fuck, man. Yeah. I'm looking like a horse.
The best one. The best ones are the athletic boxers.
Yeah, and I wear the best ones. Like the mesh ones.
Yeah.
Because I put it on and just stand in front of a mirror saying, "Man, I'm fucking have a big dick." And take out my boxers is a different story, but hopefully,
Let's see. What else did I do? Think I watch
you and swimming, right?
Yeah, we go to my dad's barbecue, swim. Visit some in-laws over the weekend. I told you about my wife's sister, wants to watch the baby a little bit more, and as a first-time parent, I'm just cautious about taking them anywhere,
which is totally understandable.
So you got to baby-proof their house and scope everything out, and you don't want to try to offend people, but. She's more worried about it than I am, but they're good people. But a couple hours out of days or here and there is not that big a deal.
Yeah. Any good movies or shows lately?
I finally got around to watching Last Dance.
Great,
which is great. It was it's been interesting. And we think I was telling you about the
conspiracy.
Conspiracy or the investigation on his dad's death.
Yeah.
They only touched briefly on the death of his dad.
I wonder why. Is it like a legal thing?
Maybe a legal thing, or maybe it's just they didn't want to feed into the conspiracies or whatever, because they chalked it up to conspiracies. Or maybe
like, they didn't want to like have it be about his dad. It is Michael Jordan.
I think out of respect for Jordan. Yeah. I'm sure he had a lot of say in the documentary, so it was out of respect for him. Because they could do a whole documentary on that death alone, because there's a lot of shady stuff.
Yeah.
You know, like the three men involved, one for sure killed them. I think the people that are in jail for life are definitely involved. One was the trigger man. One was the accomplice in terms of getting rid of the body and all that.
Right.
But they are connected to kind of the drug ring in that area. And one of the guys that was initially called from Jordan's dad's car phone was a well-known drug dealer in that area who's very deep in it, who I think is serving time in prison now, or at least did a portion of time in prison. But his father is the head of police in that area and oversaw pretty much the investigation.
That's crazy.
And what his phone number was the first one dialed from the car phone, which is not mentioned at all. And then evidence of the shirt was all just kind of, you know, from his dad's shirt was, you know, kind of mishandled. The body was cremated even before the Kobe, not Kobe,
Michael.
Michael and all them kind of identified it. It was just, it's a big fuck over, and there's a lot of people connected. And I think the right people in jail are in jail, but they are, there's other people involved. There's people that probably stripped the car. There's people that, you know, there's a whole reason surrounding the why he was killed in the first place. I think he was more mistaken identity.
Really, that's crazy. I mean, if you're Jordan and you have all that money, why not invest some of that money trying to find the truth behind
it? But
all
they
this?
Did talk about the conspiracy of it being connected to his gambling addiction.
Yeah.
But I don't necessarily think that's the case. Mm-hmm. But if you look into it, it's more of them just covering up, certain people that are on the outer connected to
I mean, you're right. I mean, that narrative was pretty clear that they try to make you
think it's
due to his gambling problem.
Yeah. Problems. But if you look in deep, oh man, that's a shady, shady situation in terms
a true crime documentary.
Yeah. I think when it boils down to it, the right people are in jail. Whether they're connected to outside stuff is a different story, but the right people are in jail. So
that's good.
It is what it is.
That's good.
And then I watched the fights, and the fights are great, man. It was Darren Till, Whitaker. You had Bellator over the weekend. So,
you know, I forgot about that Bellator card until my manager told me about Aaron Pico fighting.
Yeah, no, I
that was on Friday, right?
Yeah, I got home from work and I was trying to watch it.
I couldn't find the damn Paramount Network on my cable.
I couldn't get a hold of Paramount Network. It wasn't on the app. It was only on Paramount Network.
And I couldn't find it. I just quit. I looked online. It said channel like 40 something, and it wasn't there.
Yeah, I could have probably found an illegal stream, but it was busy that night, so I didn't. I just saw the highlights, and I was getting updates on Twitter and all that stuff. Yeah. So I was watching that.
Well, it was nice to see that Aaron Pico finally uses
Aaron
wrestling.
Pico won. Yeah, yeah.
Finally uses wrestling.
So we'll get into the fights right now. We'll touch on Bellator real quick. So Bellator was this past weekend. I think it was Friday night, right?
Yeah, it was Friday night.
Yeah. You had Pettison versus Bandejas was in the main event. Aaron Pico picking up a win, submission, rear naked choke. I think he was excited to showcase his all-around skills. He's training at Jackson's.
It's about time he uses wrestling.
Yeah, he uses wrestling. I think he's so confident in his stand-up, and he's so powerful in his stand-up.
He forgot about
his wrestling. And just being an all-around fighter and not telegraphing.
And that's a good thing about him being at Greg Jackson. Like, you can have a coach that is going to kind of highlight your strengths and kind of put your mindset, okay, I know you train with Freddie Roach, but like your bread and butter is wrestling. Stick to it.
And he needs to pick up these wins. He just needs to win. The more you win, the your star will rise. You know, look at AJ McKee, who was his training partner, was on a he did it right. He was winning and winning and getting big names, and then, was well prepared, even though with him, he was kind of born into mixed martial arts. So he's got a little bit of a head start. But Aaron Pico picking up a win, man. That's great. Yeah. Local boy, Whittier guy. Super nice. Jordan Mean didn't, Jason Jackson beat Jordan Mean in his Bellator debut. Rafael Stotts picking up a win. And then Sergio Pettis picking up a win against Ricky Bandejas, which is good for him.
Yeah, I think Bellator is a good fit for him.
Yeah, second win in the in Bellator, and so yeah. Good for him. And let's get to the big event this past weekend. Great card.
It was fun.
I thought it was a fun card.
It was great. I was in bed, but it was great.
Yeah, I didn't see a lot of the prelims. I saw maybe half the prelims. I like Pani Kianzad picking up a win. Mm-hmm. She was a former guest of ours. I saw the last couple of them. There's a lot of finishes, huh?
The prelims, they were, yeah.
Yeah. Kazma Chimaev.
I don't know. Is that a Russian name?
Yeah, that guy. The guy with the big guy with the...
Yeah, the guy that picked up his second win. In 10 days, yeah.
Or whatever.
That guy, he reminds me a lot of Khabib, yeah. His style.
Did you see that fight, though?
Like, yeah.
He went at him and didn't give a fuck, man. He picked him up. And he literally,
I felt bad for the guy.
He got punked. That was... He went in there straight at him, did the single... Got up, did a body lock, and just lifted him up. No answer for him. No, he lifted him up like his little brother and then just just took him down.
Yeah, I felt bad for the kid.
Damn, no chance. Mm-mm. This guy's good, man. And he's so good.
These
Russian guys and these Dagestani guys, they're all like trained in like
killers
from like their youth. And there's tough culture, tough people. And they're just like, that's it. It's like when you have like Sambo as like a high school curricula, it's like, you're in a tough fucking environment.
Yeah.
And these guys are no joke. And, say what you will about their loosey goosey with drug testing and a lot of stuff, which it could be a factor, cause we know that USADA doesn't really test, that outside fighters that much, especially in those areas, but you can't take away from this guy's skill. The guy's a tall, big guy, just fucking a killer, man. So he picks up another win against Reese McKee. Alex Oliveira, Cowboy Oliveira picking up a win. Paul Craig looking great with the submission triangle. Carlos Esparza picking up a win.
Ooh, that was kind of dicey for Carla Esparza.
That was dicey. I gave it up for her, man.
She gave her. Yeah.
Carla. You know what? I respect Carla, man. She goes out there. She wins when she does fight.
She got battered.
Yeah. And we see her a lot. You know what I mean? She's very sociable.
We see her a lot.
A lot.
That's an understatement. We see her everywhere.
We see her all the time.
She's cool people. When she sees us, she talks to us. It's not like she ignores us.
She's cool people. I'm not gonna hate on her. She's cool people. She likes to go out. She likes to party. But when she fights, she performs, man, and she does the best she can.
Yeah.
And she's been picking up some wins, so good for her.
I look bad.
Fabricio Adun fucked up my night. I'll give you that. So we've been betting recently. It's not been going well. The last card, I think, did all underdogs, which, they're underdogs for a reason.
Yeah.
But took a chance. Verdum, though, this time I went with more of, like, the favorites. I was like, Gustafsson, I think, has a better chance of winning. Shogun, I think, has a better chance of winning. Whitaker, I think, has a better chance of winning. Verdum goes in there.
I thought Verdum was going to win that fight all the way just because the heavyweight and Verdum is so much bigger than him.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, but...
It showed.
It showed, and it's like
that
Gus looks,
yeah,
height wise they're
fairly even,
but
on the ground he was so much bigger than Gus. It was like a big guy like fighting like a midget.
That and Verdum's is like a top, the best submission guy.
Yeah, he's the wrong guy going to be on the ground with.
Yeah,
because he's a beast,
and
that's his world.
And Gustafsson did great on the stand up. However long he was doing it for, and then Fabricio goes for a shot, takes him, takes him down. Gustafsson gets back up, but Verdum just hangs on, man. It trips him again, and just grabs it back, and that was it.
That's it. That's all she wrote.
Man, fucked up my night. I had a 3-way parlay. I was probably gonna double, triple my money, but he had to fuck it up. I thought it was an even matchup. They were gonna be pretty good. I thought either one could win. Fucking Verdum. I didn't lose that much, but still.
You still lost money. It sucks. Yeah.
Verdum, I think, what do you think? Goes to Bellator? I think he goes to Bellator.
Yeah, it's a smart move for him.
We talked about it. More money.
More money.
Great relationship with Scott Coker. He wants to fight guys like Fedor and stuff.
No
like
pressure
that.
With pay-per-views.
No pressure on pay-per-views.
Sponsorships.
Sponsorships. Drug testing is a little bit looser.
Yeah, he can take those fucking Mexican pills.
You know, he can't afford another pop drug test.
No.
He just got off of suspension.
Yeah.
At his age, can't do it.
Plus, if he wants to do kickboxing, they have a kickboxing promotion.
He wants to do kickboxing. He wants to do commentating. I'm sure they'll find a role for him.
Yeah. I think it's an easier route for the belt in Bellator than
way easier belt. The UFC. And then to get, let's say he gets the Bellator belt, he have a Bellator, UFC, Strikeforce. Did he have Pride at all? No, I think
he's a two-time Abu Dhabi champion.
Yeah. So I mean, the guy would be highly decorated if he goes in and gets another belt.
He's already considered one of the greatest.
Yeah, and I think it's a good chance he could get another belt over there.
Yeah,
Gustafson.
And he's on the tail end of his career, so I think he could just finish on his career there. But yeah, with Gus, it's like
he's not consistent at all, man.
Like he wins fights and he loses fights, and he wins fights and he loses fights, and he there's some fights where he looks great. This one, you can't really fault him, but he didn't really do much on the ground.
Yeah,
and you can chalk that up to Verdum's size, but
yeah,
I don't know what he does. I mean, because like Verdum was in a highly ranked heavyweight. No. That's like the perfect fight for him to fight.
Yeah, especially a person his name.
Yeah.
That's the best, probably the best.
Who's in fight now? Like Francis? No way. He'll get smashed.
Yeah.
He's in a tough spot. I think the best fight that he could fight is against DC. But to get to DC is a different story.
DC might be gone by the time he gets up there.
Yeah.
He had his chance at DC anyway. I can see him fighting like a Olenek or Derek Lewis. Those would be fun, you know what I mean? Or like I would try to stay away from like a Razor, like Curtis Blaydes for right now, because he's just gonna try to wrestle you.
Oh yeah,
there's a lot of heavyweights he can fight. Get some wins.
Yeah, you're right. Just, I don't know, but I see
stay away from ground guys for right now. Like a wrestler,
the Black Beast can knock him out though,
but he's quicker.
He's quicker, he has better boxing, and then he can take him down.
Stay away. And
I think he fights Derek Lewis.
I like him against Derek Lewis. Yeah. I don't mind that. I think Derek Lewis is fighting Olenek, though, next, which is fine. They can meet up later. Shogun versus Nogueira 3. Shogun getting the third victory over Nogueira. Great back and forth, which I figured it would. This was a dicey one to bet on, too, because I bet Shogun, but Nogueira is still dangerous, and this fight showed.
Yeah,
even at 40 something, you know.
Yeah, I mean it was a boxer versus a kickboxer.
Yeah,
because I mean Nogueira is catching Shogun's.
Yeah,
with those jabs and those hooks, but then Shogun brought in with his nasty fucking body kicks he was landing, and those leg kicks are fucking brutal.
Shogun's 38 now,
dude. I'm so happy for Shogun. Like he's winning fights.
He's winning fights, man.
Is this the second win in a row? I think because it's his previous fight. I think he drew or lost.
He out of his last six, he's only lost one, and that was to Anthony Smith.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In that span of time, five out of the five, two of them are Nogueira.
Yeah.
And then one, I think he had a draw with what's his name, Paul Craig. He had a draw with Paul Craig, and then he beat like three others or whatever it is, or two others.
The fact that he's still winning is great, though.
Two or three others. Yeah, no, and he's still winning. He hasn't really switched up things a lot. He's still the same guy.
I don't think he ever will.
He's definitely not going to.
Yeah.
He still does a lot of the same movements. The guy hasn't needed to really, it felt like, I guess he's needed to change things up.
He always does this, huh?
He does his whole, you know, and then he does the same combinations. It works for him, man. It worked for him when he was in his 20s, and it works for him now in his late 30s. And I mean, he's had a couple skids right there in his early 30s of losses. But you know,
I think he's like one of the most disappointing fighters to come into the UFC for Pride.
Well, most disappointing.
Yeah, because I was there in his debut fight against Forrest Griffin.
Yeah. I don't know who's more.
That was a badass fight.
Disappointing though. I don't know. He lost his debut. That was bad.
That fight was badass. I remember being in that building and it was.
Yeah.
It was crazy. It was.
Yeah, and I mean, he did win the title. Give him that. He did look good at times. He did pick up some wins. He was just consistent.
I think Shogun and Vandalay were like pretty disappointing.
Yeah.
Guys.
What about Crow Cup, though?
Oh, yeah. Crow Cup, yeah.
Yeah.
I think that one fight, his debut fight, was great. Then he got knocked out by Gonzaga.
Yeah.
And, yeah, there goes Crow Cup. But I think people knew more about Shogun than they did Crow Cup.
Like hardcores or
just casuals.
Casuals? Yeah. Yeah.
He was more like a household name than Crow Cup was.
He had a good wars with Lyoto. Those two fights with Lyoto, I think, are iconic in his career.
Yeah.
One apiece, basically.
Wait, was he ever a champ? He was champ, right?
Yeah, he was champ.
Yeah, he was champ. That's good.
He had a title defense there, too. And then he ran.
He got knocked out.
Then he ran into John Jones. John Jones, and then that was it. Yeah.
That's true. Damn. But yeah, this is Nogueira's last fight.
Yeah, Nogueira's last fight. Nogueira's done.
You know, it's. I was thinking about this, and it's sad because I think he'll forever will be in Nogueira's shadow, in Big Knock's shadow.
Oh yeah.
Because not only do they look alike, but it's like people know Big Knock, and they go, "Oh, he has a little brother." Like, who in the hell is Little Knock?
And he's the uglier one.
Yeah,
you know,
he looks like a fucking.
He looks like the older one. I mean,
he looks like one of those apes from Planet of the Apes.
his hair is thinning out.
Yeah, he has a big old boss on the back.
Big Nog looks good still. He looks youthful and young, and he's got a hot girlfriend.
Yeah, he does. But yeah, I was thinking about this. Like, man, he's always gonna be in a shadow.
And I mean, Big Nog was more successful. Big Nog came over and
he was heavyweight champion.
Yeah, heavyweight champ. Had a lot of good wins, some losses, but it was very competitive in his division.
But for the hardcores, I think he always be remembered as a fighter that went in there and put everything on the line, man. I think his boxing was great in MMA, and I don't know.
His boxing was better than his brother's.
Yeah, for sure.
I think he even went, like, he was like a Brazilian Olympics,
right? Yeah.
Like, he went to the Olympics for Brazil.
Like, wasn't he in the Cuban boxing team? Something like that. Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. I know he was on. I know he was a. Was he a bronze winner?
Yeah.
Olympics.
Yeah.
So he was legit, man. Legit hands.
Yeah.
And still continue to fight guys half his age, and it's like. You know,
yeah. It's crazy because I always forgot that he still fights in the UFC.
Yeah. Because he doesn't fight often. He doesn't. Once every year or 2 years. Mm-hmm. All right, and then in the main event, you had Whitaker versus Darren Till. Man, this was a 5-round fight. I thought it was great. I had at the edge of my seat the entire thing. I thought it was a really great technical war. Mm-hmm. I mean, they hurt each other.
Darren Till surprised me.
Yeah, Darren Till went in there focused and just calm, and I thought he was going to like kind of rush him a little bit more. Mm-hmm. Whitaker, so for me, Whitaker looked really like jittery and almost like he did with Israel. Like, I think the nerves were getting to him and the pressure was getting to him. Mm-hmm. And it took a little while for him to shake that off.
Yeah.
Because he looked like he was going for shots that were just winging it.
People expected him to win. So yeah. There was a lot of pressure on his back, too.
And you could tell by his body language. It shows when he's mentally nervous. And he was going a little reckless. And I think that's what caused him to get hit with that elbow coming in. Almost put him out. And I think after that point, he got focused and decided to like really be more calculated.
Yeah, his spirits definitely kicked in.
Yeah, and you can see what he was looking for. He's looking for the overhand. I think left a lot. He was trying to get that kick to the head kick. He was definitely going after Till's legs, his calves.
Yeah.
And just trying to catch him on the outside when they got tied up and just catch him on the outside, trying to get out. But I don't know. Whitaker looked great. I thought he showed that he's championship level. I think he really mentally turned the switch on and made sure in the fifth that he proved that he is elite in that division. And any doubters that, I don't know.
I agree with everything you said. I don't think he's ready for Israel.
No, I don't think so.
I think he should take another fight.
I think he should take another fight too.
Yeah. Yeah. Who? I don't know. Who's out there? Calvin? But then Calvin, he just lost.
Yeah, he just lost and is not looking good. I'd be surprised, see if he even stays in the division. Till, I thought Till, yeah, again, to your point, I thought Till looked great. Calm, cool, collected.
He was motivated,
had,
huh?
Yeah, he had a good game plan. He looked really motivated to get the finish and get the job done. And came up short. I think he lost that fifth round.
I felt bad for him, man, because like he's always coming in short.
Yeah, I felt bad for him too because he's wild, man. You know, he's reckless on out in his life a little bit.
Yeah.
But he's got a young daughter, I think, and he's got a family, and he's really passionate about the sport, and you could tell. Yeah. So you could tell in this fight that he was looking to really, you know, get the job done, and it just didn't work out for him again.
That sucks, man.
I don't think his stock goes down. I don't think he...
No. I think his stock kind of goes up in this fight because he fought, you know, a former champ, and he hung in there for five rounds. Almost put him away.
So the top 15 is like... There are some good guys in there, but the top maybe 10, Uriah Hall, Edmund Shahbazyan, and Eric Brunson, who are fighting this weekend.
Ooh, Edmund, you don't want to mess with that guy.
Yeah, no. You have Calvin Gastelum, who's number 7, who's probably going to drop. Jack Hermanson, who just submitted Kelvin Gastelum, is number 6. Darren Till, Yoel, Jared Cannonier, Paulo Costa, Robert Whittaker, and Israel is your champ.
Yeah, stay away from the top 5 for sure.
So Paulo Costa is fighting Israel. Cannonier is there. I think he's ready to go.
I think he should fight Hall.
You think he should fight Hall? I wouldn't mind that. I think for Till, I wouldn't mind Whittaker against Hermanson.
Yeah, and then Till Hall.
Yeah, and then Till Hall or Till Cannonier.
That's a good fight.
Whittaker Cannonier.
Yeah,
I think Hermanson and Cannonier. I like for I think, either I think one
the,
of those guys.
The top 6 is he should stay away from. He's just Till.
Stay away from the top 6.
Yeah.
If let's say he doesn't go anybody under than the top 10, like. I don't know. If he stays in the top 10, you let Derek Brunson and Shahbazyan fight it out. They're doing it this weekend. Kelvin put him on ice. Maybe, I would say give Uriah Hall Kevin Gastelum so he can bump up. Jack Hermanson. I would like Jack Hermanson and Cannonier against either Whittaker or Till. And just, you know, I would suggest both of them stay away from Romero.
Definitely.
Especially like, Whittaker, you just don't want to do that again. Even if you won 2 of them already, just leave it alone. Till hasn't fought him yet. So, I mean, if I was Till, I would take Hermanson or Cannonier right now. Brunson Shahbazyan. We'll see what happens there. That's going to be a good fight. We'll get to that card right now. But it's a good top 10 and middleweights. Those are dangerous guys right there. That's a stacked top 10 right there.
Yep.
But yeah, any other points from the fight that you liked? Or
I know, no, I think did? I think the standout besides the obvious was Carlos Barza.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. That's true. What do you think? Okay, let's get into the card this weekend. What do you think about the drama with
Herb Dean and Dan Hardy?
Yeah.
What
do you think about the stoppage one?
No, I agree with Dan Hardy.
Yeah.
I think it was premature. Yeah. I mean, premature was
late.
Late stop. But I think for Dan Hardy, I think it's like one of those things where you talk to him backstage. You don't deal with that outside world we can see. It kind of makes Herb Dean look bad. It makes kind of him look bad.
Yeah.
He's there doing a job. Both guys are. You be professional and just do your job, and you have a problem with it, you talk to him afterwards.
And granted, I think it wasn't on for Dan Hardy's case. In his defense, I don't think it was on camera.
No, but
it wasn't televised.
No, it wasn't. But you're still in a public setting.
Yeah, you're in a public setting. People are taking pictures. There's a lot of
media. Remember?
Media. There's a lot of pictures where he's pointing a finger right at Dan. Yeah. You know? I agree. I think
time and place for that.
I agree with Dan Hardy, and the stoppage was late. I don't think which fight was that? That was Trinaldo, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, Trinaldo and Jay Herbert.
Yeah.
I think Herbert, when he got rocked, he went straight back, and when he hit the floor, it was like with all of his body, and he had one arm up and one kind of leg up,
And to me, it wasn't like Herb described it as, I think, as he was defending himself. He was, as he said, as he was asking, he was doing everything I asked him to do. He had his hand in defense of like him, between him and the opponent, and he was defending himself. And he was, to me, I think it was like, please don't hit me anymore. It was kind of like Anderson and Forrest.
Oh yeah,
you know, Forrest is like, just leave me alone. I'm done. You know what I mean?
Yeah. That's a good example.
To me, it was that he was barely there, I think, consciously, and he was more of just like, it's just like a instinctual, please don't hit me one more time. Mm-hmm. And you can even tell Trinaldo walks right over him, stands up for like 3 seconds right over him, and then decides to throw a punch and another punch. Luckily, none of those punches landed like super flush.
Yeah.
But imagine, I mean,
if they did.
Imagine if they did and he went out cold and stiffened up.
That's scary.
That's scary. Yeah. And then the fact that Herb Dean is going to, obviously he's going to defend his case, but that's even more of a case against Herb Dean. The fact that, you know, it already looks bad. And then if Francisco Trinaldo went and stepped in, held back for like 3 seconds and then laid him out cold, you just hurt the kid even more, man.
And this isn't Herb Dean's like first route of this happening.
I heard he fucked up earlier that night too. Yeah. I heard.
He hasn't been very consistent. He has a lot of consistent errors than not. So I think his title of his best referee is kind of out the window, I think.
Yeah, I think he's starting to slip a little bit. Do I think he should quit? No. But I think he should take ownership for his mistakes and be like, you know what? Yeah, I could have stopped it a little bit sooner.
That was my bad.
That was my bad. That's it. And just left that at that.
But then Harry shouldn't be doing that shit either.
Yeah, and I agree with it. He could have done that. I think he definitely should have called him out, maybe even backstage, and had it, let's just be like hearsay, he says, she said, like hearsay, instead of out in the open.
Yeah.
I think it was wrong for him to do it out in the open.
Because he's working with the UFC and like, eyeballs on you, and it doesn't look too professional for
him. Now, Dana hasn't commented on it. I'm waiting to see if maybe this weekend they're going to ask him, what's your take on it? I'm really curious to see if he says anything.
Yeah.
And yeah, I agree. I think they're both in the, I think, I don't know.
In the wrong because of the situation.
Yeah.
I think it was backstage. They're
both in the wrong. I could see both sides. You know, Herb has a better look and has a better look into the guy's eyes. And
Dan Hardy, a former fighter who kind of like sympathizes with
a little more passionate about defending the fighter. So yeah, I see both sides, but I don't know. I think it was a late stoppage. I do. I agree with Dan in that too. Sense.
Yeah.
It would have been bad if he would have been flattened out.
Oh, I know.
Colds, you know.
He's lucky that didn't happen.
He's lucky. This weekend, you have Invicta, a card with Invicta.
Jeez, they're still around.
Yeah, they're still around. They're doing their thing. They're staying put in Kansas City, no fans. They're doing their thing. Mirandin versus Ruiz. You have one championship making their return in Thailand. LFA 87 is this weekend on Fight Pass, and UFC August 1st, Brunson versus Shahbazian. Let's get to the UFC card real quick, because one pretty much most people I think are going to really watch. On the card, you have Ray Borgs on the card. Ed Herman's coming back. He's on the card. Frankie Saenz is on the card. Trevin Giles is on the card, who is a former guest of ours. Good luck to Trevin. Bobby Green versus Lando Venata is on the card. Randy Brown versus Vicente Luque. Joanne Calderwood step in short notice against Jennifer Maya, former Invicta champ. That's the co-main event. And Derek Brunson against Edmund Shahbazian. Good card. Interesting card. Mm-hmm. Fun card. Brunson versus Shahbazian. Who do you have?
Shahbazian.
Yeah. You think he's the new golden boy for Edmund Tavardian?
Yeah, it's comes out of that camp, out of the gym,
you know.
I think so. Yeah. I just for that reason I don't want him to succeed, but I think I think he is, and I think I like him. I like his chances against Brunson.
Yeah. Brunson hasn't been like as consistent lately. Shahbazian is, you know, just
15-0.
Looking good, man. 15-0 in the top 10 now.
Yeah.
He's number 9. It's gonna. Oh no, he's 11-0. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I think this is his fight to win and to make a name out of himself.
I'm interested. I'm gonna research a little bit more on these guys and well, I know both of them, but I want to see their last couple fights again and then see how they look at the weigh-ins. See if I'm gonna bet on them.
Yeah,
it's gonna be interesting if Derek Brunson is gonna be able to like inflict his fast forward aggressive approach that he does all the time. Mm. And if it's going to work against Shabazi, and if he's going to be able to back him up against the cage.
I don't think it is.
No?
No.
It's going to be, yeah. I don't, that's all I'm wondering. Yeah. I'm wondering. It's going to be interesting. That's a good card this weekend.
Yeah.
A lot of good fights this weekend. A lot of promotions making their return. And that's our show, man. I want to thank you guys all for watching, for listening, subscribing, commenting, all that.
All good stuff. Yeah, and follow us on social media. Facebook, Instagram, and...
pretty much everywhere.
Everywhere. Send us a question. MMAcomplex@gmail.com.
Comment section. If you have any criticism on what we're doing, if you have any
nice.
If you have any suggestions on what you think we could be doing more or segments that you would like to see.
Send us an email.
Are we not talking about ourselves enough? Like whatever. I don't know. Like, whatever you guys have in mind, let us know. Shout out to all our fans around the world, because you know, I do look at some of the stats sometimes, and we have some people that check us out in some random places.
That's awesome.
You know, I'll give a couple of country shout outs right now. We'll do Canada. Our people in Canada.
Yeah, well, we love Canada.
Our people in Russia, specifically Moscow. Love you guys, Richmond, Canada. Love you guys too, Richmond Hill, and then the U.S. A lot of fans in the U.S. So thank you guys all for listening, watching. Catch you guys on next week.
See ya.